Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. Data centers are at the middle of debate in cities across America. Are they the bane of neighborhoods or a necessary step forward? Let's hear from both sides.
It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. So a backlash has begun. Data centers, you know, when you look at something on paper, you're like, of course we want to be ahead of China when it comes to AI. We have valid concerns about AI, how it will be utilized. We're learning every day about the pros and cons. But the idea of these data centers that apparently use ungodly amounts of water to cool them and ungodly amounts of power to run them. So there's major concerns. There's a zoo in Tennessee, in Nashville to be specific, that they want to build a 69,000 square foot data center right next to the zoo. The zoo said this facility literally would be about 50 yards away from some of its animals and that noise could disturb its residents. That's the other thing, too, that doesn't get talked about enough. My understanding is these data centers do make a substantial amount of noise. Who's going to win in this case? We are vehemently opposed to having a data center so close to the animals. That from Rick Schwartz, Nashville's zoo's president and CEO. And the zoo had launched an online petition against the data center. As of Friday, it had more than 180,000 signatures and 25,000 shares on Facebook. The petition asked city leaders to intervene to protect one of the most fragile and rare collections of animals in the country. And the clouded leopards, I guess, would be the closest to that. And these are pretty rare, and they're trying to, you know, breed them to keep them ongoing and alive, and they're very vulnerable, and they definitely don't think the noise is gonna help. And so, you know, this is interesting because it's one of those things, AI, we got to win and beat China and all that stuff. And then, but then there's not in my backyard.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on around the country, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is just one case of many. And they're quietly trying to, you know, put these data centers together. But we do have vast areas still available in this country where these things would not, you know, be harmful to anything near it. As far as the water sources and stuff go, I can tell you, you know, we're very concerned in Florida here about our water. And we should always be concerned about it because you know what? We've had some good years and then it doesn't get talked about. And then we're in the middle of a huge drought, you know, and the state's burning down and, you know, the water's drying up and, you know, recreational waterways are, you know, closed down or difficult to access. And so then, it becomes up the top of the surface. So the timing, if people are pro data center, the timing couldn't be worse, as at least here in the state of Florida. And we're already kind of fed up with, you know, being told, hey, you know, don't water your lawn. You know, we're short on water. But the bottling companies don't slow down one bit. So I think we all find that a little irritating. And I think that's valid to be irritated by it. So, you know, that they'll probably, somebody will get their palms greased. Somebody will see an extraordinary benefit of having the AI, these AI data centers. And they'll force their way through, and they'll get just like the bottling company. Oh, it's gonna produce jobs. How many? Really? Like a dozen? Get out of here, jobs. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth on that. But it is an ongoing battle.
Here's more perspective from WBEN in upstate New York on what major corporations are doing with all this data center output.
In Nashville, more than 200,000 people have now signed on to a petition to block the construction of a data center.
The community does not want this here.
Rick Schwartz is the president of the nearby Nashville Zoo, and he says he's concerned the constant noise and light from the data center will harm the animals. DC Blocks. The company behind the plan is downplaying those concerns. It is the latest data center project to face pushback from surrounding communities. Google has signed on to a new AI agreement with SpaceX, paying the company more than $900 million a month to use its data centers. SpaceX, which is in the midst of filing a public offering, owns the artificial intelligence firm xAI. And Microsoft is showing off a new 25th anniversary edition of the Xbox. The limited edition console and its accompanying controller are both translucent green. It goes on sale this fall. With Tech Trends, I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
So the data center backlash, I mean, we talked about it here, of course,
for sure.
Down in Texas, Nashville now, really all over the country.
Everyone's getting in on this. Yeah. State Senate Minority Leader Rob Ort is with us. The state legislative session has ended in Albany, and we're looking at what got done and what didn't get done. Morning, Rob. What stands out to you? What is your biggest takeaway?
Everybody was talking about affordability, and we needed to make the state more affordable. We needed to lower people's energy bills. We needed to tackle the high cost of living here in New York. And the budget, which was, of course, 2 months late, the latest budget in my time in Albany, really did nothing to address the affordability issue. If you look at sort of the main drivers, I mean, there's going to be $100 or $200 check that people will receive here in the fall, which, you know, hey, sure, we'll all take $200, I suppose, or $100, but that's not really going to do anything to lower lower your energy bills or really make your life more affordable. We kicked the can down the road on the green energy mandates instead of really repealing the CLCPA or making real changes to the surcharges and taxes that go on your energy bill. Taxes were not lowered. We increased spending. I think it was a real missed opportunity. There was a lot of talk about affordability, but ultimately the Democrats who negotiated the budget, this budget does not make life more affordable for most people here in New York. And I think this session will be remembered a lot at this juncture for the crazy law that was passed the last week of session that removed mother and father from New York State family law and replaced it with gestating parent and non-gestating parent. You know, it's probably maybe that doesn't affect a lot of people, but I think it goes to sort of what the priority was or a to-do list item the last week and the things that really needed to be taken care of that were not.
You mentioned energy. We've talked in the past with you about kind of kicking the can down the road when it comes to some of these energy laws. That was done in part of the budget. But I want to look at a different energy issue, and that is data centers and the impact that has on energy consumption and a whole lot of other things. A one-year moratorium passed on the construction of data centers here in New York State. There's talk about it in Tonawanda, the old Tonawanda Coke site, in Niagara Falls. What do you think about that one-year moratorium, and what's going to happen in that 1 year that might change anybody's mind on this?
Well, we'll start with your last part. Nothing is going to happen in a year, right? I mean, a year, to your point, Brian, I think is you know, it's you know what's going to happen in a year? Next year won't be an election year. That's what's going to happen in the year. So this is an election year, obviously, and next year won't be. Look, I understand that data centers, like many things over time, nobody wants to live near a data center, I suppose. There's concerns raised about energy. But to me, it's a false choice. And the reason I say that is this. In New York State, we have one of the oldest electric grids in the country. It has not been updated. The money has not been put into making it a grid worthy of the 21st century. On top of that, we in New York, with the CLCPA and with mandates that we have put on here in New York State, we have limited where we can bring energy, how we can produce energy. We want to go all electric, which is going to put more strain on an old and aging infrastructure. we do not have the electric capacity or the energy generating capacity in this state to meet the demands currently. And so a data center or any high energy user is going to draw maybe disproportionately on that grid. And then you're told, or homeowners are told, you have to choose between economic development or powering your home. And that's a false choice. That's a choice that other states don't have to make. They can do both. They can do both. So when people say, oh, the data center is taking my power, the only reason that's happening is because New York State policymakers and lawmakers have enacted poor energy policies for many years, and now this is the choice that in New York we have to make that other states don't have to do. Let's be clear. You know, the AI, what's going on with AI, I believe the country that wins that race is going to control much of the future in our lifetime. And I certainly don't want it to be China or somebody else. I want it to be the United States. And I think New York plays a part in that. So while I think there are things that need to happen, and I get why people have concerns about it, I think it's a false premise brought about by poor energy policy here in New York State, by not investing in the grid, by trying to shift everyone to all electric when we're not ready. And then we say, oh, and we can't have data centers or other high energy users because they're going to have a disproportionate draw on our grid. That is a false choice that has been proposed or forced on people by poor policy here in New York State that other states are not having to make. And again, I worry about what that means for companies that are looking to invest high energy users in New York State.
So that's Florida and New York. How about Illinois? Here's WBBM in Chicago.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Governor Pritzker is putting a hold on a program that processes tax exemptions for new data centers until the state legislature installs guardrails for consumers. Data processing centers have seen explosive growth, and the governor wants protections for consumers before more exemptions are processed. The state legislature ended its spring session without taking action on data center proposals by Governor Pritzker. The governor says that in the legislature's veto session, he'd like to see data centers, among other things, be required to pay their fair share for water, electricity, and other resources, and be required to generate or pay for their own clean energy resources so Illinois taxpayers don't have to pay the cost. He says Illinoisans have a right to transparency, to know what's happening in their communities, including how much water, electricity, and other resources these data centers will use. The governor points out that data centers can use up to 5 million gallons of water a day, as much as a medium-sized town.
There are so many arguments against new data centers, but what are the arguments for them? Here's WWJ in Detroit.
One of the big topics here is data centers. How are they? Cities blowing these data centers?
Well, blowing it's a strong word. I think communities have a lot of questions, but I'll tell you, Charlie, we cannot miss this opportunity. This is like saying I don't want anything to do with the internet back in the 90s, right? You saw how transformative it was. We don't want to sell out our children's future. We absolutely have to get these data centers into Michigan. I realize there are valid questions that we need to address. And that's why I wrote the op-ed that said, we need data centers, but on Michigan's terms. Of course we need to protect our water. Of course we need to make sure electricity rates don't go up. But we absolutely have to get data centers into Michigan.
Is the message not getting out to some of these city councils who are voting on these moratoriums?
Well, I think the message is out, but I think they're scared of their community. They're scared of what's going to happen. And we need to get the message out to our communities that, for God's sakes, we can't fear progress. We are mortgaging our children's future for a boogeyman today that we don't even understand what it'll morph into. We have to get these data centers into Michigan.
Are they safe?
Of course data centers are safe. They're quiet. You can demand that they don't use the municipality's water. Let them bring in their tanks. There's plenty of money to solve these problems. We're just not we can't just say no. We have to say yes on our terms and publish those terms. And every community in Michigan should be banding together to say, how do we create a set of guidelines that allows us to win and the data center to come in?
Automation Alley is expanding. Is Wayne County coming on board?
So, well, Wayne County, Assad Turfi is on our board of directors at Automation Alley. But we have been working with Wayne County to bring them onto Project Diamond. This is the project that buys and distributes 3D printers to small manufacturers. And Oakland and Macomb counties have done wonderful getting their small manufacturers onto the network. And we're finally ready to bring Wayne County on. We're going to bring 250 manufacturers onto the network in Wayne County. So if you're listening, go to projectdiamond.org and sign up because you want to get in line.
Well, AI is taking over a lot of things in the world, and it's getting to be a big deal in business. Here to talk about it is the branch director over technology staffing for Robert Half, Leah Raphael. You guys recently did some research about AI, and I know, you know, some people are concerned about AI taking over jobs. What did you find?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, according to recent Robert Half research, 88% of organizations are using AI and 57% are optimistic about it being integrated into current workflow. So what that means is that around a little over half of executives expect AI to actually lead to job growth, not contraction over the next 2 years. And there's only about 23% who really expect a net decrease. So really what we're seeing is positions aren't going to be eliminated. Just like past tech transformations, we're going to see positions changing and job growth coming from this tech transformation, not a decrease in any capacity.
Do you think we've seen job loss, though, with AI so far?
You know, it's a great question. And what I'll say to that is there were some companies that did cuts originally due to AI because they thought they could replace those positions. And what we're seeing is they're actually rehiring those positions, right? So more than 3 in 10 companies who eliminated positions after implementing AI already have begun to rehire for those roles because there's been a need for AI hiring corrections, where certain roles that were cut during that early adoption were later reinstated because they required institutional knowledge or context AI couldn't replace. The role involved relationship management AI couldn't replace. Business demand increased, requiring more overall capacity. And AI required more human oversight and quality control than expected.
And did your research support that?
Yes, that's all from our research.
And so what do you expect going forward? I know people are nervous about AI.
Absolutely, absolutely. And obviously, I'm not an economist, right? I just work in this local marketplace, so I can't predict exactly what's going to happen. But what our research shows is that there's going to be job growth driven from AI, not a contraction. AI tools weren't fully or consistently adopted across teams. Productivity gains were smaller than expected. Risk or compliance concerns emerged without a human in the role. Remaining team members experienced burnout or workload strains when those roles got eliminated.
And also, what are staffers saying about how AI actually helps them on the job?
Absolutely. So what we're seeing with AI and how it's, you know, supporting jobs is it's automating things, right? So it's making the mundane parts of your job easier. It's making it more efficient so that your day-to-day is actually focused on more strategy-based work and getting more into the meats and potatoes of what your job is versus maybe the administrative tasks that might be bogging you down.
Are companies, you know, training people on AI? Is that happening?
That has been a huge topic of conversation with my clients locally, for sure. What we're seeing, especially with the small to mid-sized businesses, is that they're just now getting into implementing AI and how can this really help us and how can we implement it? And so they're bringing in subject matter experts, not only to get AI implemented and processes in place, but to train the team on how to use it to the best ability. And I think it's going to be a really good thing. It's going to create a lot of new jobs, and we're going to see a ton of growth from it and even new job responsibilities or new jobs in general created from it that we haven't historically seen in the past.
And what kind of new jobs do you expect to be created? What kinds of things?
You know, I can't necessarily predict that, but for example, in past IT innovations or in past tech transformations, there was the creation of jobs like web page designers and software developers and digital marketing professionals, which seems so normal to us today. But, you know, back with the last tech transformation, it was groundbreaking and you couldn't have predicted that. So I think we'll see more and more around automation and just strictly AI focused jobs.
All right. We've been talking with Leah Raphael. She is the branch director over technology staffing for Robert Half. Leah Raphael. I'm Beth Fisher, WWJ News Radio 950.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.